As you know, today is New Year's Eve, which is the final day of the year 2017. Is anybody else kind of just flabbergasted that 2017 is now over? This year seems to have gone by in a blur, and I don't know if you're like me, it's kind of hard to believe that Christmas is already done, that New Year's is tomorrow, and 2018 begins in less than 24 hours. And I'm so thankful for everybody coming out and braving the cold temperatures. And this morning, as we get into His Word, I want to lead us as a church in something that I feel is very important as one chapter closes and another gets ready to begin. New Year's is always marked with reflections of the past. It is always marked with the opportunity of thinking through where God has taken us through the last 365 days. And if you're like my family, God has led us in a lot of mighty ways. And as a church, I understand there was a time period of transition and new leadership and such. God has done a lot this last year. Amen. And we're thankful for His hand that has been with us. But New Year's also marks another opportunity for us today, which is the opportunity to look forward and to make resolutions for the future. How many have already made a New Year's resolution? A few of us here this morning. How many plan to keep that New Year's resolution? All right. We know that traditionally those don't make it very far. But you know what? We'll be praying that those New Year's resolutions are kept this year and with that. But this last year has been a year of transition. It's been a year of exploration and a year of change. And God has been doing some amazing things. And I believe, church, that He has many great things in store for us, both individually and corporately as the body of Christ. Do you believe that this morning? But here's one thing that I've discovered when it comes to our walk in spirituality in Jesus Christ, is that these things won't be discovered by accident. God has a plan. And His plan for this assembly is a good, powerful, and redemptive plan. I believe that we're going to see God do multiple things this next year. One, I believe we're going to see God bring restoration to families. In the last 2 months since we've been here at Heartland Worship Center, God has laid upon my heart some very, very clear direction in regard to families. The families have come under attack of the enemy, and there's a reason why. Because the family unit, the traditional family unit, is a strong unit when operating according to God's will. Amen? But if the enemy can bring disruption, if the enemy can bring division, if the enemy can come in and bring brokenness to that once beautiful picture, well, we know what can happen. I come from a broken family. But praise God, we discovered the love of Jesus. We discovered our redemption. We discovered our strength in Christ, and the Lord has moved in our lives. It was only through Jesus that we found healing, church. Amen? It was only through Christ of which that brokenness was brought back together. And as we look forward in 2018, you can be assured that we are going to be looking at bringing restoration to broken families, but also to strengthen the healthy families that are within our congregation. Guys, listen to me. We should be doing all that we can. We should be doing all that we can to protect our families, to see our children, our spouses walking with the Lord. Amen. It is our number one mission field. If we can't reach our own families, can we reach the world around us? We need to be working at restoring families. Also, number two, bringing healing to brokenness. I've already kind of mentioned this a little bit with the previous point here that I was bringing to us. We all know what it's like to walk in a broken relationship with God, and we know that sin is the great divider. Praise God, we know that sin cannot separate us from the love of God. But it did create a divide that can only be overcome by the blood of Jesus. Church, I don't know about you, but I want to see this brokenness healed in the lives of those who live in our communities. And thirdly, this morning, I desire to see God bring revival to the church. Listen, Heartland Worship Center, we are doing well, but I believe God has more in store. Amen? I don't want us to aim for comfortable. I want us to invite God to grow us, to stretch us, to mature us, to equip us, and to move us in mighty ways. And this is going to require that we fully submit to Him in all our ways, as Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6 points out. These items that I just listed to you this morning briefly are a part of what I would call spiritual renewal. I desire to see God's spiritually renewing power unleashed not only all over this church, but all over families, all over communities, all over the Heartland. I want to see God's power on the move. And as we get ready to start off a new year, as we begin to talk about and look at vision, and we're going to be having a Vision Sunday coming up in the next few months. We're going to be talking about some amazing things that I believe God is wanting to do through this church. But as we talk about what God would have in store for us in 2018, I want us to make a commitment as a body for the next week, for the next 7 days, to pray, to usher in 2018 in a season of prayer. The Assemblies of God is asking for all its affiliated churches to pray for 1 week to properly usher in this new year. And at the heart of these prayers is spiritual renewal. This morning I'm going to play a clip from our General Superintendent Doug Clay, who is the superintendent for the Assemblies of God, and then we're going to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14.
As we set aside this week for more concentrated times of prayer, I'm really believing God for spiritual renewal for every minister, every missionary, and every Assemblies of God church. You know, spiritual vitality is simply the life of God being poured into our lives to bring about the will and the character of God in us and through us. In fact, the principles of spiritual vitality are really simple, but they are absolutely contrary to the sinful makeup of our nature. That's why Paul warned the Galatian church that their flesh would always be fundamentally at odds with the Spirit of God. And it's only as we continue to walk in the Spirit that we will succeed in overcoming the desires of the flesh. You know, a history of spiritual activity and success, be it personal or denominational, doesn't negate this basic principle that spiritual life and vitality is rekindled as we lay down our pride of past achievements, set aside our confidence in personal or corporate abilities, and turn to God, who waits to pour out His Spirit on those who seek His face. So, when you hear, or when we hear, that verse that says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, it's my desire that all of us in prayer will position ourselves to have the very life of God being poured into us, and that as a result, we would be known through our words and our deeds as vibrant, Spirit-empowered people of God in a society that desperately needs Him. Now let's be honest. We live in a social media age that's put our lives on display. Our opinions, our likes, our dislikes, our attitudes, they're always jotted down, photographed, broadcast to the world. I pray that as Assemblies of God people, our life would be one that's known and marked for being spiritually vibrant, spiritually vital. Not just people who are known for our opinions, but being people who are known of people of the Spirit. It's not the strength of our tweets, it's not the strength of our posts that's going to bring about spiritual renewal to this country, but it will come when we, who are called by His name, will seek His face and pray. So let's take personal responsibility. We, who are called by His name, let's take responsibility to pray. Would you join me as we pray for personal renewal, as we pray for a family renewal, as we pray for church renewal, and as we pray for a country renewal?
Amen. Let's look at this text together out of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, that reads, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." As Doug Clay just mentioned, he lays out well that we have before us an amazing opportunity to speak to the Lord through prayer and to cry out for spiritual renewal. Jesus, and we see this truth in Revelation 21:5, has the ability to make all things new. Aren't you glad for that truth today? Friends, listen to me. When you called upon His name, when you chose to become a believer, when you chose to confess your sins, to call upon the name of Jesus, to follow Him, in that moment, He made us new. In fact, Scripture says the old has gone, the new has come. Amen? As Jesse Duplantis would say, we are new creatures with new features. And I'm thankful today that God, through His Son Christ, has renewed us. Amen? Jesus has the ability to renew the spiritual condition of ourselves and our land. And this renewal is an intentional renewal. We must first recognize the need for renewal, and then we must respond to this need by calling on the one who brings renewal. In context, when we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, this verse speaks of God's amazing willingness and ability to bring renewal to desolate situations. After Solomon had finished the temple, after the dedication of the building, God speaks to Solomon and tells him that the prayers that are offered in that place will be heard. And as I paraphrase, God tells him that if drought or famine comes and the people pray, that God will reverse the situation. That if drought or famine comes, I want to make sure this hits us home, and the people pray, God will reverse the situation. I'm curious, have you ever experienced what you might classify as a dry spell in your faith or a drought spiritually where you just feel like you are, dare I use the phrase, dying inside spiritually? I know I certainly have experienced a moment in my life where my relationship with Christ became nothing more than religion than relationship. I was going through the motions. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? It was empty. Those are my words, how I would describe it. It was empty. I was showing face, if you will. There was no relationship to really speak of. I was just doing what I knew I was supposed to do. Anybody ever been there? And because of those actions, I found myself in a place where my flesh was overriding my faith, and I would certainly call that a place of drought in my life. And when I finally recognized what was going on after several months of experiencing this and becoming more negative and more complacent, just nasty, I wasn't a very nice person to be around. And this happened in Bible college, mind you. Of all the places that you would think that wouldn't happen, it's in the middle of my studies to become a pastor at CBC. Hello! I found myself in the altars at chapel saying, God, I'm not leaving this place until I have a breakthrough. And after spending hours on my face just in tears, God broke through the dryness, broke through the drought, poured in His Spirit and set me on fire again. God has the ability through His Son Jesus Christ to make all things new. And Solomon God is communicating this to Solomon in this beautiful time as the temple has been dedicated to God. How does this play out for us today? We know that Jesus was God's ultimate response for renewal. In an amazing demonstration for His love for us, church, while we were yet sinners, God sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. Why did he do that? Because creation was dying. Creation was in a place where we couldn't help ourselves. It didn't matter what we did with our hands. It didn't matter what we thought with our minds. Sin was running rampant in the land, and the only thing sufficient to take care of this need was the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid the payment that we could not pay. He made the sacrifice that he could have only made. And because he gave his life wasn't taken, church. His life was given for the people of God. Because he gave his life on the cross, we can now be renewed by our faith in him. There's a couple of us that are excited about that today. Come on. I'm thankful today for God's renewing power in my life. Spiritual renewal can be found through the one who gave his life for us. But this is not something that we merely accidentally walk into. It's something we pray for. 2 Chronicles makes clear a responsibility with just three words. If my people. The desire for spiritual renewal must move the believer beyond a simple wish to a point of action. Let me illustrate it this way. I have a wish to be in better shape. Anybody else have a similar wish today? My brother-in-law, bless his heart, helped an individual whose car broke down in Springfield this last weekend, and we met him at a Barnes & Noble store, and I mean, he just looked exhausted. And he sat down in a chair and he looked at me and he says, "Brother," he says, "I am out of shape." He pushed the car about a half a block and he was working hard to catch his breath and felt pretty nasty for his efforts. And I can relate what that feels like. I don't like being out of shape, and I've had this desire, I've had this wish. In fact, that wish has even motivated us to purchase one or two pieces of exercise equipment that sit in our basement collecting dust. Anybody know what else I'm talking about? Come on. And they're great machines, and they work well. There's nothing wrong with the machine, but there's something wrong with my intention, because as long as it remains an intention, nothing's going to do. But until that moves me to get on that thing, hello, and start doing the work necessary to get me to where I want to be, are you following me today? It's not something that I can look at in the corner and say, "Oh, Bowflex, make me stronger." It's not going to happen until I lace up my shoes and get myself on that thing and let that machine work me out. Are you following me? And until we, the people of God, are willing to get into the altars and begin to cry out to God and say, "Lord, move me into this place of action, move me into this place of faith, move me into a place of mission, God, where I am doing what you have called me to do in my community, when I'm doing what I'm called to be doing in my workplace, when I'm doing what I'm called to be doing, what I'm supposed to do in my home. Listen, God, I want you to equip me, to stretch me, to grow me." We've got to get back on that spiritual treadmill and allow God to renew us today. But it's a choice. It's a responsibility, church. If my people. If my people. It's not something that will happen by accident. God has presented it to us as a choice. A responsibility. And I want to make clear this morning, where did spiritual renewal begin? As we looked at this text today, we realize it begins with the people of God. This text is for those who are called by his name. This text is not necessarily directed towards those who do not know God, but to those who know him and his power. Spiritual awakening and healing must begin in the house of God, in all of us who are called to be representatives of Christ in this world. We are the light of the world. Are you hearing me this morning? We, those who believe in Jesus, Those who follow Christ have been identified by Christ as the light of the world. We have been commissioned to go and to make disciples, to teach them to obey the commands of God, according to Matthew 28, 19 and 20. That is our responsibility. We are the extension of Jesus' ministry to this world until He returns. Which means if we want to see spiritual renewal happen in Phillipsburg and in Kerwin and in Kensington and in Agra and in Smith Center and in all the communities that surround our church, it begins with us. Hello? It begins with us, those who have been called to carry the light into the darkened world. If you're here today and perhaps you don't know the Lord, listen to me, this is an opportunity for you to know His love and His power. God wants to renew you through His resurrection power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And Jesus paid the price that we could never pay with His own life. Our sins have been forgiven and are washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah! That song that we sang just a moment ago, He set me free, can become your reality today. Renewal comes through the acknowledgement and confession of sin and the acceptance of Jesus as Lord and Savior. Church, we have the opportunity to make a choice. Three words say it all. If my people. These three words place the responsibility on our shoulders. Will we, the people of God, the body of Christ, choose to be a people of prayer, a people in relentless pursuit of spiritual renewal? As we follow God's Spirit and truth to continually sanctify our lives, our thoughts, our actions, our attitudes and behaviors, we are pursuing spiritual renewal. But church, it's a choice. It's a responsibility that we answer both for ourselves and for others. This morning, I want to present four practical prayer points. That's a mouthful. Practical prayer points. Sorry. For our consideration today as we begin our week of prayer. Number one, pray for personal renewal. How many this morning would acknowledge with an uplifting hand saying, in 2018, I want God to do something new in me. I want God to do something new in me. So we pray for personal renewal. Revival begins in the one before it spreads to the 100. If we desire to see God move in our land, then we must first allow Him to move in our hearts. And there is no exception here. What areas in your life do you see a need for spiritual renewal in this year? We all have areas in which we can grow. Will we choose to lift those areas up in prayer as we ask God to help us and to strengthen us? Number two, pray for family renewal. As stated before, we will be hearing a lot more about this in months to come. The enemy is strategically targeting families. So many live in a state of brokenness, of confusion and chaos. The family unit is essential, church, is essential to the survival of any culture. Families are in trouble, and it's high time the church responds. Amen? To give you a statistic that rattled me to the core, something I learned about just this last fall, for the first time in our nation's history, we have hit a milestone I wish I could say we had not made it to. They are predicting in our next census that for the first time in our history, that fatherless homes will become the majority of family units across the land. Statistically, when you look at cultures who have hit this milestone, historically, these cultures don't survive past another two generations. Why such a scary thought? Because that's our reality today in the United States. And as a church today, that should rattle us. amen, that should bother us. That the majority of believers, what that means for pastors from behind pulpits is that when we give sermons on traditional family, we are now talking to the minority instead of the majority of families in our congregations. That should rattle us to the core. That should help us understand that we have an issue happening in our culture. And friends, listen to me. This is not a distant problem. This is something that's happening across the street. This is happening in our communities, in our schools. I promise you, you know somebody that is experiencing this form of brokenness in their home. I grew up in such a home. Praise God. I want to make mention again that because of Jesus' mercy and grace, we're all living for Christ today. But it's only because of Jesus' mercy and grace that we are here today. We need God back in families. Amen? We need God back in families. We're going to pray for family renewal. We're also going to pray for church renewal. What is the church? As I mentioned before, we are the body of Christ. We have a mission to be completing until Jesus returns. We already talked about Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. God has given us a mission. He has given us the power to carry out the mission, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It brings to the table the power necessary to see the mission accomplished. The question is, do we have the want to? Amen? Do we have the desire to see the mission happen, to take place in our communities? Again, it's a choice. If my people, will we rise to the occasion? Will we choose to pray? Will we choose to allow God to renew us as we work to carry out the Great Commission? And fourthly, we pray for country renewal. Our nation needs God. And we need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for those who are out working to secure and to protect our freedoms. Amen? That while we sit in our church service this morning, enjoying the warmth of everything that's going on here today, understand that we have men and women on the front lines securing and protecting what we enjoy in here right now. We need to pray for those who are on the front lines. We need to pray for God to move in our leadership. We need to pray for God to move in a reviving way all across our lands. And as we pray for this morning, I want us to understand the impact that Heartland Worship Center can have on the United States of America. I've mentioned this before. You're going to hear me say this a lot in the near future. I don't want you to think of this church as just a little country church in the middle of nowhere. Because when you look at the geographic setting of where we truly are, we understand that the geographical center of the United States is just a little way off to the east. Over in Lebanon. So what that tells me is that we might appear to be a little church in the middle of nowhere, but I believe God is wanting to do a big thing in a big church that is at the heart of everything. We are at the center of this thing, and I believe God has planted us here for a reason to become circulatory system of discipleship, of mercy, of grace, of love, to spread the good news of God from the heartland to the far corners of our nation tonight. Oh, but Pastor, how can we do that? We do that with the help and the power of Jesus Christ. If my people, it starts with prayer. And so this morning and throughout this week, I ask you to pray. I ask you to join in believing God for spiritual renewal throughout the heartland. And if I could have some assistance from the worship team here this morning very quickly as we move to a time of prayer. The first thing I want us to consider is allowing God to renew us through a relationship with Him. I cannot preach a sermon on spiritual renewal without giving the opportunity for that to happen in this place and in hearts. I never want to take for granted where we might be as a congregation or as individuals. And so if we could have every head bowed, all the eyes closed as we bow our hearts before the Lord. God wants to renew you today. Was willing to go the distance for you by giving his son Jesus Christ so that he could give his life for you. We just celebrated Christmas. We just celebrated the reception of the greatest gift the world has ever received. And he was given on purpose with a purpose. For moments just like this. For moments when people begin to realize that within they have a need for renewal. Jesus is your answer today. And not only does he renew us, but he restores us as we are reconciled to the Father through what he did for us on the cross. This morning, as we get ready to pray, I'm curious if there are those here that would say, Pastor, I need to get my relationship with Christ back online. Maybe you've never had the opportunity to have this relationship. Maybe you are in a position right now where your relationship just isn't where it needs to be. Similar to what I talked about, that drought, that dryness spiritually. And this morning you want God to renew you through Jesus Christ. I'm already seeing heads nodding. I want to be renewed in Jesus. I want to give my life to him. I want to dedicate my heart to Christ. If that's you, would you just raise your hand so I can see you? Amen. Anybody else? Amen. 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 Praise God. God wants to renew you today. He wants to refuel you. He wants to re-strengthen you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you raised your hand, here in a moment I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and I want you to pray this prayer with all your heart. This is between you and God. And congregation, I would ask that you would help us in support of those who raised their hands today, saying, God, I want you to make me new. But we're going to pray a prayer. We're going to confess our sins to God. We're going to accept the Lord as Savior and surrender our life to him. And as you pray this prayer, I want you to open yourself up for his Spirit to come in. Because as soon as you pray this thing, guys, listen to me, you become the temple, the dwelling place of God's Holy Spirit. And he is going to pour into you that fresh fire, that renewing power, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. I believe that today. Do you believe that this morning, church? So will you join me this morning as we pray by saying, Dear Jesus, I know that I've sinned, that I've messed up. But today, I also realize you gave your life on the cross so that I could be forgiven, so that I could be renewed, so that this drought that I'm in could be overwhelmed by your life, by your love, by your mercy and grace. Come into my life. Renew me, Jesus, from my head to my feet. Fill me, God, with your power and with your Holy Spirit. I submit my life to you. I give you everything. Lead me. Direct me, guide me, renew me. Thank you for saving me and for setting me free. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.